Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's WTIC Todd Feinberg on a Thursday afternoon, I believe it is. I'm so disoriented. I've so dove into tolls, however you say it. I feel like I'm living in the little whirlpool at the bottom of one of those old-fashioned ones where you throw your quarter in from as far away as possible to see if you can get it in. We have a guest this hour to talk tolls. Neil, I'm nervous about your last name. It's such a perfect last name. Don't cover up your laugh. It's all right to let people hear your laugh. Neil Tolhurst is here
with one L.
With one L, yes, from notollct.org. And thank you for being here. Now, you kind of jumped out because you sent me some emails and I hadn't heard your name before, and then you said you were NoTollCT, and you were sending all this wonkish stuff, and I'm going, what's going on here? This guy knows everything about tolls, not the politics per se, but tolls and all of the financial and realities of what it means to put in tolls and all that. So thank you for coming here to fill us in. I think it'll be interesting.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, and I would never claim to know everything, but I've been involved in fighting this for 10, 11 years. Every time it keeps coming up, you know, it's like your grandma and my grandma probably said, it's like a bad penny. It keeps coming back.
Yeah, I don't think they were talking about tolls, but you're right. They did say that. Mike, does his microphone sound all right? It sounds sort of thin to me. Is that quality all right? Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So thank you for coming in. What is going on with this toll fight from your perspective? If you were, you know, if you just walked into the elevator and somebody said, hey, Neil, what's up with tolls? What's the elevator pitch?
Well, that's ironic. I just had a conversation with a woman that works at the tennis club where I play tennis. Mm-hmm. And her perspective was that, well, we drive to Florida and we pay tolls all the way down there. And then I started asking her some key questions.
Like what?
Which roads do you go on? Mm-hmm. Are you talking about highway tolls or bridge tolls? And she told me that she sleeps most of the way. Her husband does the driving.
So she has no idea.
Yeah, she has no
idea. What town was she flying into?
No, driving. She's driving.
Oh, they drive like from here all the way down?
Yeah, they drive from Northwest Connecticut mm-hmm. to Florida.
Wow.
And from Northwest Connecticut, you go down through New York City and into New Jersey. And we talked specifically about New York because she had the perception that she's paying tolls in New York. And she's paying a bridge toll. Mm-hmm. She's not paying highway tolls.
And are those bridges in New York, are those in under the congestion tolling scheme, or do they predate that?
They predate that. And in that area of New York, plus north of there in Westchester County, up into where the Tappan Zee Bridge is, mm-hmm. there's some serious problems going on with their new cashless tolling program.
Oh, really? I went through that not too long ago. As far as I know, it worked all right, but I didn't check to see if I got billed and how much I got billed.
Well, that's just it. And
who looks? It's invisible. It's the most invisible taxation. I'm convinced this is why Democrats love it, because they want a free opening, like a portal. Like, you know how they talk about they want to be able to break into Apple, the government, whenever they want, be able to get people's data. And God forbid they ever get away with that. Well, but they want this for our bank account. They just want to be able to go in and grab money. And that's what these transponders do. You give them a credit card. They add money in each month, and you have to go find your account to look it up to find out how much you got billed.
Not only that, but there's systems where you can register your bank account if you don't want to have a transponder. And this was discussed in one of the toll information meetings that Laura Devlin and Henry Martin have been conducting, and mm-hmm. I've been to two of them. And when they bring that up to the audience, people are shocked, and the reaction in the audience is amazing. Nobody likes the idea of turning over their bank account or their debit card to one of these private companies that run these tolling systems.
Well, you mean from a privacy point of view? They're worried about the security of their credit card.
They're worried about the privacy issue. They're worried about the security issue. And they don't want any part of giving the government, through these private vendors, access to their bank account.
Well, so when the anti-democratic destroyers started dismantling our society, I figure the beginning of that was putting in the income tax. And the idea being that you can have this percentage, this little incremental thing, that's being deducted each paycheck from somebody's salary, so that they you don't even know what you're supposed to get paid, right? Because 30% of that's being deducted and put away for you. Look at how many people were shocked this year because there was a change in the deductions the feds were taking with the new tax law.
Well, that's true, and that's, you know, that's a different issue, but you go back to the toll
system. No, it's the same issue. Well, it's invisible of your funds.
Okay. All right,
and that's why these thieves in Hartford are so in love with the idea of being able to just make adjustments and have an agency. Well, we didn't know they did that. Did they do that? They really doubled the tolls on 84. We didn't hear a thing about it.
Well, that could happen. Let's go back to the point that you raised about invisible tolling and invisible money coming out. If you are a careful person, and if you're wonky, if you are going to review your bills regularly.
In other words, if you're Neil Tolhurst from No Toll CT.
Well, and I do that. Yes, I check my credit card bills. But if you're going to have an easy pass, and if you don't check your bills all the time, how do you know that it's correct? And if congestion pricing
Even if you do check it, how do you know?
Well, that's true. And especially with congestion pricing, when the price varies, how do you know? And I've had situations when I was going back and forth to Albany when my parents were alive, where I had to use the New York State Thruway and the Mass Pike. And I had mistakes made on these tolling systems.
How can it be a mistake? It's all automated.
Yeah, well,
it's the most simple transaction in the world. I went through, automatically deduct $50 because I dared to go into New York City. What's complicated?
Well, it should be simple. It should be accurate, but it isn't always accurate. It isn't always simple. Things make mistakes. That's okay. But getting it unwound and getting it fixed should not be a major hassle. And they should not be coming back to you with nasty letters that have a guilty first approach.
Guilty first approach. If you don't pay these things in 90 seconds from the bill arriving at your house, they're putting on $50 surcharges.
Well, and if you go look up the investigative reports that a media outlet in Westchester County has done on these cashless tolling systems in that area, it's called Low HUD, as in Lower Hudson, lowhud.com. Mm-hmm. There's people that have lost their vehicles. There's people that are in danger of losing their houses. There's all kinds of horror stories.
Who cares? They're just we the people. Screw them. What rights do they have?
It's just we the people.
This is the former United States of America. You have no rights.
Isn't this a democracy, Todd?
No. It's not even vaguely resembling one.
You know, speaking of democracy, I have a couple of comments for Governor Lamont and the toll advocates.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Mike, you have any effect music we can play for Neil
that
here?
That would be good. And keep in mind that I'm a Democrat. I'm a longtime Democrat.
So you like big anti-democratic government?
Well, I didn't say that.
That's what being a Democrat means. That's their primary goal in life.
Not necessarily. But let me make the point that I'm a Democrat. I've been on my Democratic town committee for a long time. I am very unhappy with what the statewide Democrats are doing. And let me give you a key example. Recently, in advance of the hearing on the toll bills, there were 5,000 written submissions of testimony. It broke a record. Uh-huh. It set the system on its ear, and they ran 9-1 against.
Mm-hmm. And what happened? How'd they get rid of those?
They're still there. You can look them up. But what happened? There's the people speaking. That's the voice of the voters.
Yeah.
And the vote was on a party line in favor of all those tolls, of the three toll bills, and against the will of the people expressed by those 5,000 plus submissions of written testimony. 9-1 against, and yet these guys all voted for it. Mm-hmm. Is that democracy? Are they Democrats or are they demagogues?
They're just, what the Democratic Party has become, and this is the problem with people like you who stay there, even though it's become an insidious force in our society, but their business model is taking as much money away as possible in order to give it to big government and then not allow you to know what they're doing with it, to be totally unaccountable. And this on its very face is anti-democratic values. They seek to take money and divert it to the furthest possible government and not tell you what they're going to do with it, and then to change what they're going to do with it and tell you, well, we didn't say we were going to give it back. We didn't say we were going to. Did we say this was only a temporary tax? We didn't mean that. We can't, unfortunately. We wish we could. I mean, what about them is democratic? They have no right to anything except way less than what they're getting.
Well, and they not only did they ignore the written testimony, but they ignored the No Tolls CT petition that is now about 93,000.
But you saw them yesterday and the day before. They're scared to death. They feel this is going down the drain, and they're scared.
I hope so. Right now, there's 13 towns that have passed resolutions. They're non-binding resolutions, but it's an expression.
That's a pretty intimidating thing, especially when you've sent Arasimowicz out there with his sledgehammer to hit kneecaps, and still people have the gall to go against the gangsters who run Hartford.
I think they're making deals, and they're twisting arms, and there's vulnerable legislators, and everybody that's listening, if you're opposed to this, you need to go on to the notollct.org website and click on the section that says find your legislator and contact your legislator either in person or on the phone or via email or postal mail. Any way you can, there's legislators that are on the fence, that are vulnerable, and that maybe won their positions by a slim margin, we need to keep the pressure up because you can better believe
that's the key thing.
The pressure's coming from the other side.
The ones who are thinking that all they think about is the next election and how they're going to win it. And you need to stand between them and the little ray of light that is shining that says re-election. Neil Tolhurst is here from notollct.org. Stay with us on WTIC. Todd Feinberg, what is this, Mike? What? Oh, okay. And who are we making a deal with? Because it's funny you play this. Neil Tolhurst, our guest here. Tolhurst, you get the reference? That's why we had him on, because he's a toll man.
Well, it's pretty ironic.
He's a toll man.
I've been dealing with this issue for about
You're
11
expert,
years.
Yeah, even though you don't like the word.
Well, this is the first year that people have been homing in on that.
No, it's a wonderful thing that you have all this data on. What's wrong with the proposal? Why isn't it? And by the way, if Neil knows a lot about this. He works with No Toll CT. If you have a question about tolls, if you have a thought you want to share, give us a call, 860-522-9842. Well, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things that's wrong with it, and we talked about this on the phone last night, is if you think about it, they're talking about...
You were making spaghetti and meatballs, though. You weren't that coherent. What do you season them with, by the way?
Well, my wife made the meatballs. I made the spaghetti.
She did the good stuff. So your job is boiling, in other words. Okay.
I can
understand where the brain power is in the Tolhurst household.
I can make sandwiches, too.
Good. All right. Sorry, go ahead.
But anyhow, you know, one of the things that the governor said in his conference yesterday was that this toll proposal will free up dollars for trains and make it 5 to 10 minutes less for the ride from New Haven.
That email you sent me was wonderful.
5 to 10 minutes less for the ride from New Haven to New York City, which I looked up is 75 miles. So it's really ironic because I've been saying that this is going to be maybe a 10-minute savings because they've been talking about it. Bergstein from Greenwich has been talking about it. Lamont has been talking about it. But think about it. The ones who are going to be using that train, they're going to save 5 to 10 minutes, and they're going to put a toll on all of us.
So how do we measure that? Is there a cost per minute?
I was trying to figure that out, but we don't know what the true costs are. But think about this. Mark Fitch from Yankee Institute put out an expose a little while ago, in the beginning of April, with the average income of the train riders. And the train riders down in Southwest Connecticut, their average income is six figures and more.
Six figures and more.
Six figures and more.
These are people commuting to Manhattan.
Oh, to go to Manhattan for their jobs or their hair appointments, or maybe to go to a gala, to go to the theater.
A fundraiser, sure.
Right, a fundraiser. So
you've got to show off your glitter and bling.
Oh, yeah. And the biggest bar on the graph is $250,000 or more. So, Todd, you go to Boston to visit family and relatives and friends. I do, too. I lived in Boston for 9 years. So if this happens, we're driving on 84. We're going to pay tolls.
We're going eastbound.
Yeah, we're getting northeast to Boston. So suppose we're paying tolls for somebody to save 10 minutes going to a gala in Manhattan.
They can go westbound. It's harder to go west. But what's the...
It's one of the flaws in this whole program.
Why...
How is it a user fee if some of what we're paying frees up money to go to the trains?
I think they meant user fee like a junkie, a heroin junkie. They're the users.
Yeah.
And they use our money to do whatever they need to do to pay their friends to vote for them.
Well, I was really glad to hear Lamont say that 5 to 10 minutes, because I've been speculating and saying 10 minutes savings.
So you were being overly generous.
I guess so. 75-mile trip, they'll save 5 to 10 minutes to go to work in Manhattan or to go to the theater.
No, but say that. How much to do anything to change a railroad?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to cost like $10, $20 billion, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and why aren't the ticket fares enough to cover that?
Well, because they pay their user fees already. The people who, with their tickets, that's their user fee.
Well,
that's why we need tolls, because that'll be our ticket.
Right. Obviously, their user fees aren't high enough if they need toll money to free up other money.
That's one of the ridiculous things about the whole conversation. All right, Patrick's on the line. Patrick Sasser. So let's get him in
quick,
because we're getting near break time. Hey, Patrick, you're on WT. Wait a sec. You're not actually on WTIC because the mouth isn't doing what I want. Let me try this. Patrick? Where is he?
I don't hear him.
Come in, please, Patrick. Let me try this again. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Todd. How are you?
Patrick Sasser from notollct.org. What's the big announcement? Can you do Can you do it in 45 seconds, or do you want to wait through the news?
No, I can do it now.
Okay.
We're on May 18th up at the Capitol from noon to 3. We're going to be holding a rally, and we're calling it Save Our State, SOS. And we've joined up with another grassroots movement called Hands Off Our Schools. And we've also teamed up with the Yankee Institute. And we're going to be talking to some other folks that have been also fighting some of the taxes and things like that in the state. So we're looking to just have a nice big rally, get everybody who's fed up with Hartford up there on May 18th.
Well, I hope you have a big space for everyone who's fed up with Hartford. That's a lot of people, Patrick.
You're right. That's the truth.
All right, so May 18th at noontime, where again?
That's going to be at the Capitol, the front steps of the Capitol overlooking Bushnell Park.
All right, Patrick Sasser, No Toll CT. That's exciting news. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, Todd. Talk to you soon.
Time for us to break. For news, we'll continue with Neil Tolhurst. We're talking tolls on WTIC. This is fun because we're getting a different angle on tolls. Instead of political ranting, we're getting, I don't know, whatever's on Neil Tolhurst's mind. So May 18th is the event. So now we have two events going on. We've got the one this weekend I'll be speaking at 10 a.m. at the state capitol. And then May 18th is the No Toll CT. I'll be speaking at that one as well. And so I want to see you at both. But particularly this weekend, we need to make a big first impression with a statewide event or, you know, a big regional event. No Toll CT has been doing these great. I love this program of doing 3, 4, 5 in one day hits in different towns and taking the campaign local. I think that's really great to get people mobilized. People are really frustrated and don't have a sense of what the cause and effect is in order as a citizen to be able to impact the opinions and the actions of their own government. And you talked earlier about, is this a democracy? You know, the real people don't have any idea how you make our government do the people's bidding.
Well, and the legislators need to hear from the people, and we need to get more people involved. We need to get more people going to notollct.org and looking at the Find Your Legislator tab that's on the home page. Find your legislator. If you don't know who it is, you have a state senator, you have a state representative, get in touch with them, call them on the phone, mail them via email or postal mail. Any way you can, get in touch with those people and express your desires. Tell them what you want them to do. Tell them to represent you as a voter and as a citizen. This opposition to tolls is multipartisan. It's not just Republicans. It's not just Democrats. It's independents. It's unaffiliated. It's multipartisan. It crosses political and socioeconomic boundaries. I'm involved in two sports leagues. One is tennis and one is bowling. Very, very different socioeconomic backgrounds with the people there. And believe me, the people in the bowling league are opposed to this for the most part. And the people that I see at the tennis club, a lot of them are Republicans. A lot of them are wealthy retired business owners. Mm-hmm. They're opposed to this. Mm-hmm. They don't like this idea.
So it's across the board.
It's multipartisan, it's multi-socioeconomic, it's across the board.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, I was reading something from a Democrat in one of the papers today. I forgot who it was and where it was, against the tolls. We had Frank Farriker on yesterday, who's against the tolls and is totally baffled at why Democrats are doing what they're doing. It's really an unusual situation.
It is. It's very unusual. And if you think about the traditional Democratic values of being for the low and middle income people, the working people, this is completely opposite that. They're just advocating.
Yes, they're showing their true colors. Well, they never actually cared about working people. And when they said the working man, we're for the working man, they meant the unionized working man. They didn't mean real regular people making a market-driven salary.
Well, what they're doing is they're pushing and promoting a regressive tax that hurts low and middle-income people more than high-income people. And you mentioned the unions, and it's ironic. You know, a couple of exposés have hit the media recently. One was by John Linder last month. The other one was by Mark Fitch just a few days ago. And they both tie into follow the money. Mm-hmm. Just like we learned from Watergate, follow the money. There's vested interests that are promoting this. The unions had people at the legislative office building on the day of the hearing. I was there early in the morning, as was their paid lobbyist, mm-hmm. who was there with one of their officers and three or four, maybe even five big cardboard boxes of T-shirts that they were handing out to the union workers as they arrived so that they could walk around with these promote tolls, we need jobs type of T-shirts. I don't remember the exact wording. But that's a financial interest those folks have. And then what John Linder exposed with this group of consultants, high-priced consultants that were planning or proposing a very extensive propaganda campaign to try and convince Connecticut citizens that this tolling program is a good idea. Those people had a lot of money to gain if this thing goes through. And then what Mark Fitch just exposed about the CDM Smith company that's had the contracts for millions of dollars to do these research studies, they have a vested interest in getting this passed. They have lobbyists that are knocking on the doors of the state legislators. When I was at the hearing on the toll bills, one of the CEOs of a company that runs these tolling systems is one of the persons that testified. Mm-hmm. Follow the money. There's vested financial interest.
It's all a rigged system. That's what you're saying.
I'm not
always saying. Use Bernie Sanders language when you can to demonstrate how the Democrats have taken over all these different fixed structures in our society and merge them together to make sure the people's will can't be carried out. This is the disease, I believe, that infects our society today, that everybody feels frustrated by, that there's a maturity to where the money is and where the power is, and the relationships are all formed. There's not really room for new people to step in.
Well, if anyone has any concerns or any thoughts or doubts about what you're saying, go on the web, look up John Linder's article from last month that was in the Hartford Courant, and then look up Mark Fitch's article from Yankee Institute that just came out a couple of days ago. And Mark was also the one that did the expose about the average income of the train riders down in southwestern
yes.
Connecticut.
So I was surprised that Ned admitted that about the fact that he wants to punish everybody in the state so they can pay $1,000 a year to go to work and an extra tax, a new tax, so that the rich people on the Gold Coast can get a incrementally faster ride to Manhattan.
How much faster is 10 minutes if you're going 75 miles?
Yeah, on your computer and your cell phone.
Yeah, right. Right. It's absurd. And it's obviously not for the benefit of the general population. And one of the things that I've heard from Governor Lamont and Senator Bergstein is this whole idea that if we fix the congestion problem down in southwest Connecticut, All these business leaders have told us that they'll come to Connecticut. Well, Governor Lamont, if you or your staff are listening, here's a question for you. Which companies have signed a letter of intent from their board of directors saying that if you build it, they will come?
Well, I wouldn't have even gone that far. Send us the emails of the ones who are interested in coming. Who in their right mind would come to Connecticut with the plundercrats in charge?
Well, I want to know, do you have a signed letter of intent from a board of directors?
All right, we'll go with that question, if you want to play hardball. Obviously, he doesn't have a signed letter of intent from anybody. Well, so the answer to that's no. What's your follow-up question?
Yeah, probably not. Well, if you don't have a signed letter of intent, do you have some other legal document, or do you want to just have the citizens of Connecticut believe your promise?
I would like to know if there was somebody he was schmoozing with at a cocktail party who said, Ned, you know, if there wasn't so much concrete that looked old and like it might drop from the, and the steel on the bridges, if it wasn't so rusty, we'd move our company and bring 1,000 jobs.
Sure they would. if you build it, they will come.
Just who at a cocktail party said that when they were sloshed?
I don't know. But, that was a great line in a fictional movie, but this is not fiction. This is reality. Yeah, that was a Kevin Costner movie.
Yes.
And it was a voice from the sky that said...
Oh, that's right. It was God. Just like Ned Lamont. It was like the voice of Ned.
If you build it, they will come. Senator Bergstein, Governor Lamont, which companies have signed a letter of intent that if you build it, they will come?
Marie-Antoine Bernstein. She's really got a nice Democratic vibe to her, doesn't she?
Well, I'm one of her unintelligent, unsophisticated people.
Yeah. You're not an Arisimowitz moron. You're just unsophisticated.
Yeah, I guess so. Her implication was clear when she said that the people that she knows that are foretolds are sophisticated and intelligent.
Yes, it was a good line. That's the kind of thing a new politician usually, they get a nice backhander. And they know not to talk like that ever again. But she's got that air about her. And as somebody who's out front, so does little Will Haskell, also a new state senator. I mean, some of these new Democrats there are just looking to somehow get politically trampled.
I got an email from Will Haskell today. I forget all the details, but part of it was talking about trying to save costs and expenses for citizens. And yet he's in favor of putting driving taxes on highways all over the state of Connecticut.
Yes.
See a contradiction there, maybe?
No, there's no contradiction. He's only doing that so that more companies will come into the state. There will be an economic boom once there's another $1 billion tax, not even to mention the glory of having another $1.5 billion in sales taxes and having a $15 minimum wage, which is something business is clamoring for all over the country.
Well, they want you to believe what they say. In fact, yesterday's press conference, Governor Lamont said, we've said very clearly no more than 50, meaning 50 gantries. Well, where has he said that very clearly? I follow this pretty closely.
Mm-hmm. You haven't heard him say that clearly?
No.
Only slurred?
It was 82, then it was 53, and then yesterday, we've said it very clearly, it's 50. Oh, please.
All right. Well, we've got to take a quick break. When we continue with Neil Tolhurst from No Toll CT, tell us why that's even important when we continue, okay? On WTIC. WTIC, Neil Tolhurst is here from NoTollCT.org. They've got an event coming up. Well, they've got events all the time. You have to go to the website, NoTollCT.org, read up on everything they have there. You'll love all the information, and there's also a calendar of events. Find out when they've got a protest or what do you call them? Rally, I guess, into your town.
Well, on the calendar section, you'll find the rallies. You'll find the list of the toll information forums that Representative Devlin and Senator Martin have been conducting, and those are great. I've been to two of them. I went to one that was local, another one I had to drive to. So on our website, you'll find a calendar with those things listed, and it's important to get out there and go. Plus, you meet a lot of good people.
Yeah, it's great fun to be out and be active. And the thing that I've absorbed from, particularly from Republican voters, is a sense of total frustration and like there's no way to, they don't know, what is the thing we can do? What can we grab onto? What's the lever we can pull? What's the button we can push that will actually let our feelings and our opinion and our sense of urgency about saving the state, how do we express that in a way that's meaningful and positive? And I think going to an event is the best way.
Well, going to an event or writing letters to the editor or contributing on social media forums, but even more important is contacting your legislators.
That's big.
Especially now that the deal-making has begun in Hartford. And people that are in the legislature need to know that their constituents are opposed to this idea. There's another question I'd like to ask Governor Open Door.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Governor Lamont.
You can be nasty. We like it. We like a little snark here.
Well, I've been trying to get in to see him for a while, working through my state senator.
As I understand it, from the governor's own lips, he can't wait to have people come in. Now, ideally, he'd have all Republicans coming in, but I think you, as a Democrat who's opposed to tolls, he'd even be willing to talk with you.
Well, I've tried to use that point with my state senator to bring that up with him, and we'll see what happens. But when he was on a radio show, this must be about a month ago, I happened to be able to call in. I got lucky and got in, and I asked him about coming in to see him because I do have an idea for how he can take care of the funds for our roads and bridges without putting tolls on the highways. And he said, well, work it through your state senator. So I've been trying to do that, and it's about a month now.
Wait, so he turned you away effectively?
Well,
he sent you through the bureaucracy.
Well, he said to work it through the senator, and you know, we're trying to do that, and we haven't succeeded yet.
What if you happen to have a Republican state senator?
I do have a Republican
state
senator.
Well, so how's that guy going to get you in to see the governor? He's got no pull.
Well, that could be what the obstacle is. I'm not sure. But when I do get to see Governor Open Door, I want to ask him not only which companies does he have letters of intent from about coming to Connecticut, but here's another question. Of all the toll studies that have been done, the taxpayer-funded toll studies, which of those studies investigated funding the special transportation fund without using tolls? Whether it was CDM Smith or Cambridge Systematics before CDM Smith, but which of the taxpayer-funded studies investigated alternatives to electronic driving taxes, which is what they are, for funding the special transportation
but
fund?
But the point of this whole exercise is about instituting tolls.
Right.
It's not about solving some other problem. The problem is we don't have tolls and the $800 million we think we can get from them.
Well, I'd like to hear the answer to
but
that.
But it's another good question, because it's a good rhetorical question for which not only do they have no answer, it's never occurred to them before.
Well, you're exactly right. It's a rhetorical question because the answer is none.
Sure.
They haven't bothered to look at
it. No, but there's a larger question that underlies it, which is what exactly is the problem you're trying to solve? Because it's not a lack of money for transportation. Obviously, if there was a lack of money for transportation, why would Democrats have been stealing the money out of the transportation fund to do other things with it all these years?
Well, this is one of the points that's been brought up in the toll forums that Laura Devlin and Henry Martin have been doing. They go back in time to 1983 when there was a bridge that collapsed in Greenwich. And then in 1984, in response to that, the Special Transportation Fund was created with the express purpose of
making sure that could never happen again.
Exactly, for upkeep of roads and bridges.
Well, it's worked.
But in the time frame since then, they've not only diverted money from going into it that should go into it, but they've also put in personnel costs for DMV and for DOT, including pensions and benefits and all that. Now, why is that going into a fund as an expense when the fund was created for upkeep of roads and bridges?
Especially when they're worried. Suddenly, the reason we don't have enough economic activity, I mean, the numbers in the state economically are disastrous in a region and a nation with a booming economy. And each number that comes out looks bad, 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 worse. And why in the world would they, if it's a lack of new construction that's caused that, why wouldn't they have been doing new construction years ago? And why were they stealing money out of the fund? You have 10 seconds, and then we have to finish. Any and, thoughtful thing you want to say in that 10 seconds?
And why did Governor Lamont divert money from the Special Transportation Fund that was part of a bipartisan budget agreement last year?
Neil Tolhurst, notollct.org. Thanks so much for coming in and chatting. It's been great fun.
Well, thank you for having me.
And you did a wonderful job.
Well, it's great.
Yeah, you're good at this.
There's more to cover.
Oh, good. Well, let's do it again sometime.
Sounds good to me.